Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah. Can I ask everyone to sit a bit closer, please? Fill in the gaps. Let's sit together. Yesterday we learnt that shaitan takes advantage of the empty gaps. Whether that be in salah, whether that be when we're sitting, whether that's when we're as a community. So let's fill in the gaps, inshallah, and ensure we don't give shaitan any space. Brothers who are sitting at a distance, come and join us here, inshallah. The talk's happening here. Come, join us, inshallah. The mashayikh used to say that if there's fire burning, you can see the fire from a distance. But the heat you can only experience the closer you are, you can feel the heat. From a distance you can see it, but you'll only feel it and experience it the way you're supposed to experience it by being close. Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah reward you all. This is a blessed light. We don't know what action is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah accept everyone's get together here. May Allah accept all the reciters. We've had some fabulous reciters throughout the month of Ramadan. It's not easy. It's not easy to stand here and lead the prayers. May Allah reward each and every one of them. Those who read for one night, for two nights, or those who've been with us throughout the whole of Ramadan. May Allah accept all the volunteers, mashallah, every single day, opening the masjid, closing the masjid, cleaning the masjid. And then you've got those who are serving the iftar, giving out the water, giving out the tissues. And then you've got those who are disposing the rubbish. Then you've got those upstairs who are serving. Relentless, it's a non-stop phase. You've seen, those of you who've been here have seen, it's been like non-stop. All day today, it's been non-stop, chock-a-block. There's people, sisters were praying outside on the road today. And this has been the case since Jummah. It's been like this. It's been non-stop. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the volunteers, everybody who has supported, whether it's been via donation, whether it's been via a dua. May Allah reward all of the brothers who are in i'tikaf. I'tikaf, this is a responsibility of us. We should be sitting in i'tikaf. And the fact that these brothers, there's about 32 brothers in i'tikaf, sunnah, and then we've got many more who are doing optional as well. May Allah reward all of them for taking out the time, 10 days, to be dedicated to the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah accept everybody. Of course, may Allah accept all of the attendees as well, every musalli. You make this place what it is. Without you, it wouldn't be this place. So the fact that you attend, you are one of those people who make this place what it is. If it wasn't for you, then we wouldn't have this place. So we request you, please keep coming. Please keep supporting the causes. Take part in the events, in the programs. Volunteer wherever you can. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Recite Durus Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. Kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka Hamidun Majid. This is session 11 in our series Spiritual Warfare, the Daily Battle with Shaitan. And we've been discussing the tricks, the traps, the plots, the ploys of Shaitan, how we can become more aware and be more woke to them, so that the next time Shaitan tries to attack us, we are 10 steps ahead of him and we can protect ourselves. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi gave an analogy, and he said the heart is like a fortress, like a castle. There are many gates, entrance points, breaches leading to this castle. If we're not aware of these gates, we cannot protect the gates. Therefore, it is mandatory for every Muslim to learn those gates that lead towards this castle, this fortress, the heart. Otherwise, shaitan will take over. Quran has declared shaitan an open enemy. Inna shaitana lakum aduun fattakhidhuhu aduwa. Shaitan is your enemy, treat him like your enemy. This is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we've been discussing that primarily shaitan attacks two things. I need your attention now. Primarily shaitan attacks two things. Number one, your belief, your faith. And number two, your actions. If you study the Quran, you know that the Quran speaks about two features of a Muslim again and again. Even today in Surah Wal Asr, you heard Wal Asr, innal insana lafi khusr. Then what comes? Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. These two things are repeated again and again. This is what you and I have. To reach Allah, these are the two things we have. We have our iman and we have our good deeds. And these are the two things, primarily these are the two things that shaitan attacks. You and I need to be aware, we need to be cognizant, we need to be woke to his tricks, his plots, and how he destroys our faith at times, and how he destroys our actions at times. Now, how he destroys our faith, I think we'll speak more about that tomorrow. Today we are going to specifically speak about one of his major tricks in how he tries to destroy our actions. Now, shaitan is always trying to throw us off track to ensure that we don't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tonight, we're going to speak about a significant trick of shaitan in how he attacks our actions. Now, in Arabic, there's a word. Now, some of you have studied a bit of Arabic, so let's have a little test. In Arabic, how do you say the word soon? I've heard a couple of people say on this end. Anybody here as well? Come on, guys. You study Arabic. Who else studies Arabic? Any more? Anyone? Yes. Soon. How do you say soon in Arabic? Anyone? Do you want to have a go? No? Anyone? Go on, from this end. Sofa, very good. Sofa, not the one you sit on. Okay, but you can think of that one now, and that'll help you remember it. Sofa. Okay, sofa, in Arabic, sofa means soon. Soon, sofa. Now, like, if I, for example, say, sofa af'alu, like, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. Another way of saying I'll do it later is I'll do it soon. It's just that I'll do it soon sounds better to your nafs instead of saying I'll do it later. Can you see how we trick ourselves like this as well sometimes? Instead of saying I'll do it later. It's the same thing, but it's a bit more deceiving to the nafs when you say I'll do it soon, right? So we'll keep that one because soon sounds similar to sofa as well. So sofa afalu, I'll do it soon or I'll do it later. This is in Arabic. Now, there's actually a term for this in Arabic. And in Arabic, when a person puts things off for later, does it sound a bit familiar? Yeah, well, we know what we need to do, but we say, I'll do it afterwards. I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next time. In Arabic, this is called taswif. I want you to learn this as we're going along. What's it called? Taswif. Taswif means to put things off for later. I'll do it later. I'll do it soon. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next time. What's another name for this? Procrastination. Exactly what it is. Procrastination. Taswif, and this is going to be our discussion for today. And it's interesting because our deen speaks about this. And we have guidance for this. I bet 90% of men have probably gone onto YouTube to look at how to overcome procrastination. You're smiling, so you've definitely done it. We have, haven't we? Right? So today I'm going to show you that you don't really need to go on YouTube or go to any self-help manual. You're going to learn it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We have a pristine religion that has pristine guidance, that is not tainted with the Western secular ideologies, which are based on kufr and shirk and atheism and not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is pristine. This is pure. This is from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, shaitan. Now, you might be thinking, what's this got to do with shaitan? Shaitan is all about taswif. Shaitan is all about putting things off till later. Shaitan is all about procrastination. Why? It basically means, what does it mean? Procrastination is, I'll deal with the consequences afterwards. Even though I know that this is going to be deadly, it's going to be detrimental, it's going to be harmful for me, I'm going to face a lot of trouble, I'll deal with it, I'll see about it. And this is exactly what Shaitan did. He knew the big mess he was in when he made that mistake. But I'll see about it. I'll see about it later on. This is procrastination. Is a shaitanic act. It comes from shaitan. Now, no mental health specialist is going to tell you that, because they don't believe in shaitan. They don't believe in shaitan. They're going to give you all these other fancy ideas, and you're going to keep going round in circles, from one handbook to another handbook, to another handbook, to another handbook, and then to one program, to another program, and all your money will be gone, and you'll keep procrastinating, and it will not go away. Maybe for 1 or 2 days, but you've not got to the root of it. So, taswif. Shaitan is all about putting things off till later. When shaitan fell, instead of dealing with the mess he was in, he thought, I'll see about it afterwards. And he carried on doing what he wanted to do, how he wanted to mislead the people. And at the core of what we learn about shaitan in the Quran, we learn a lot of things about shaitan in the Quran. The Quran speaks extensively about shaitan. But at the core of what we learn about shaitan in the Quran is this mentality that one satanic way of dealing with things in life is to put them off till later. At the core of what we learn about shaitan in the Quran is that a satanic way of dealing with things in life is to put them off till later, to use taswif, to say sawfa afalu, I'll do it later, I'll do it next time, I'll do it tomorrow, to procrastinate. This is one thing we learn about shaitan. Now, before we go into any details, I'm going to share with you a study. A study was carried out, and in this particular study, they actually measured the brain waves. They did like a neurological scan of the brains of certain individuals, and they measured the brain waves. And what they wanted to see, they asked the person, okay, I want you to think about what you've been doing today. So this person's thinking about what this person's been doing today, and they measured the brainwave activity through these neurological scans. Then they told this person to think about somebody else's day. Think about what so-and-so person's been doing. And they measured the brainwaves and the activity. And then they told this person, now think about yourself in 10 years' time. What will you be doing in 10 years' time? And when this individual started thinking, they again measured the brainwaves and the activity that was taking place through these neurological brain scans. And the conclusion was, that the neurological brainwave pattern they found in the individual when they thought about somebody else was the same kind of pattern they found when he was thinking about his future self. From which we learn that when we put things off till later, we're not thinking about us. That's not me. That's another version of me. That's somebody else. That's why it's so easy to do. When I get told to, take the rubbish out, for example, I'll do it later. We're not thinking about me. The reason why it's so easy to procrastinate is because we're thinking about another version of ourselves. That's not us. You see, the brainwave activity was the same when the individual was thinking about someone else's day, and then themselves in 10 years' time, the same activity. This is the conclusion of the study, that when we procrastinate, we're thinking about someone else, not us, a different version of us. So, coming back to this. So, why? Why are we speaking about this? Why is this so serious? Let's get into it. Remember, it's like you're not thinking that you're going to be the one dealing with this. It's someone else is going to be dealing with it. Now, why? I asked the question, why? Why is this so serious? Why is it that we have to discuss this? Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, you've heard the name of Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik, a great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he say? Listen to his statement regarding at-taswif, procrastination, putting things off till tomorrow, next time, I'll handle it later on. He says, at-taswif, jundum min junudi iblis. We're talking about shaitan. He says, at-taswif, jundum min junudi iblis. At-taswif, procrastination, is one of the armies of Iblis. This is one of his armies. You want to know how he tricks you? This is one of his tricks. It's time to do something. You think, I'll do it afterwards. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next time. I'll do it a week later. He says, At-taswif, jundum min junudi Iblis. It's one of shaitan's army. What we don't realize is, alhamdulillah, our own heritage provides us the knowledge, provides us the understanding, and provides us the solutions of how to deal with it. Do we want to know the advice of the Quran and the Sunnah? How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us how to deal with procrastination? This is what we're going to see. Now, before we do that, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he is saying, what did he say? At-taswif, meaning pushing things off till later. Putting things off till later. Saying, I'm going to deal with it later on, is one of Iblis's army. Now, remember, Iblis, his life mission is what? What's the life mission of Iblis? The life mission of Iblis is for you to join him in hell. That's what he wants. He wants you to join him in the hellfire. And he will do anything to make that happen. Shaitan can't stop you acting. He can't. If you want to carry out an act, Shaitan cannot stop you doing that. You get this idea of reading the Quran. Shaitan can't stop you. You want to make dhikr, Shaitan can't stop you. You want to come to the masjid, Shaitan can't help you. He can't stop you. You want to help your parents, Shaitan can't stop you. You want to give sadaqah, Shaitan cannot stop you. However, what he can do, he can take away the barakah of that moment. How? By making you postpone it. By making you postpone it. There is barakah in the moment. When we postpone things, we lose the barakah of that moment. That barakah doesn't come back. In each moment, there's a special barakah. There's a time for everything. Shaitan can't stop you doing an action, but he can whisper to you and give you a waswasa. Do you know what? Do it afterwards. Do it later on. Why don't you do it tomorrow? You've got time. You've got the energy. You'll be able to do it better tomorrow. What's happened? He snatched away the barakah of that time. In that time, there was barakah. There was a speciality in that time. You've missed the opportunity. So this is one of the tricks of Shaitan. Abdullah bin Mubarak. You've heard the name of Abdullah bin Mubarak, a great sage of his age. Abdullah bin Mubarak, a great scholar of hadith. And there are many incidents we can speak about. Time doesn't allow. But a great personality that one day we should explore and learn about as well. Nevertheless, Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullah alayhi, he says, and he's from the earlier generations, he says, it has reached me from the earlier generations, from the tabi'een, from the sahaba. This news has reached me from the earlier generations. What did he say? That the majority of the conversations of the people of the hellfire is going to be what? Is going to be, do you know what he said? He said, it has reached me that the majority, the most frequent conversation in the hellfire amongst the inhabitants of hell is going to be, I hate the word sofa. I hate the word sofa. I hate the word I'll do it later. I'll hate the word I do. This is the most frequent conversation of the people of hellfire. Who's saying this? Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullah alayh. He says that it has reached me from earlier generations that the majority of the conversations that will take place in the hellfire will be what? I hate sofa. I hate the word sofa. Meaning, I hate the words, I'll do it later. Because how did they end up there? The people of the hellfire ended up in hellfire. Why? Because they didn't do what they were supposed to do at the time. They kept saying, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'll do it after 2 hours. No, not now, I'll do it later. What happens? You lose the barakah of the moment. Do you ever end up doing it? Do you ever end up doing it? No, it doesn't happen. Now for us, we're much more... Now, this is the idea. The idea of these sessions is for us to become aware of the tricks of Shaitan. Maybe up until this moment, you were not aware that this is one of Shaitan's tricks. Maybe we didn't know. Now that you know, you are woke about this, you are cognizant about this, the next time you're about to do something, or an idea comes into your head, and you think about postponing it, or just procrastinating on your scrolling, social media, it's probably the most common way of just killing time nowadays, or whatever it is we're doing, the next time you face this scenario, you need to be aware now. Who is this? Shaitan. Shaitan is there. Now it's your choice. Do you want the barakah of that moment? Or do you want to lose the barakah of that moment? It's your job now. You know now. You are cognizant of this. And this is what Imam Ghazali is saying. You need to know. You need to become aware of the gates
of the breaches, of the way he reaches your heart. This is one of the major ways how he gets to you. So at this time, you and I, we need to check ourselves. Now, what does our Islam teach us in regards to this? What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do to help us protect ourselves from the shaitanic trait of procrastination? That's what I'm going to call it, because that's what it is. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us to protect ourselves from the satanic trait of procrastination? What did he teach us? So, number one, we learn a prophetic sense of urgency. This is what he taught us. When you read the hadith, there are numerous hadith where we learn, we call this a prophetic sense of urgency. Prophetic sense of urgency. Shall I give you an example? Basically, the summary of this is, time is running out. You don't have all day. You don't have forever. Time is running out. Time is running out. I'm going to share one hadith with you. Most of you have heard this hadith before. But if we see this hadith from a different perspective, it's a paradigm-shifting hadith. It's a life-changing experience. If we look at it from this angle now, most of us have heard this hadith before. But maybe we just heard it one ear out of the other ear. Or we just heard it for the sake of info. Oh yeah, I know that one. It's not about knowing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is your cure to procrastination. He gave it to you already. He taught you a prophetic sense of urgency. What did he teach you? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and when I say it, you're going to say, oh, I know that one already. Are you ready for it? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. What did he say? Value five before five. Have you all heard it before? Yes, we've all heard it before. But can you see? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching you a prophetic sense of urgency. In the moment, snatch the barakah whilst you can. You can't say, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it next time. Because the barakah is now, it's here, it's in the moment. And if you leave it till tomorrow, there's no guarantee. You're a believer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught you this at every juncture possible. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? Let's go through this hadith. اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Value, hold on to. Make the most of five things before five things come. Value five before five. What did he say, number one? شبابك قبل حرمك. Value your youth before your old age. It's 12:05 and I've just turned 39, right? And I'm feeling old now. So your age goes, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop for you, it doesn't stop for anybody. Shababaka qabla haramik. Those of you who are young, and we all like to feel young, right? Everyone's young, especially the elders, they're the ones who feel the youngest. But look, your life goes, it doesn't wait for you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there's a sense of urgency. If you are young, make the most of every moment, because your age is not going to stay the same. You're not going to stay young forever. And when we're in our youth, we think, you know what, I've got hundreds of years ahead of me. I'm still young. No, you're not still young. The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught you and me a sense of urgency. When you are young, make the most of it. The ruku and the sujood you are doing now, when you're old, you're not going to be able to do ruku and sujood like that. Many young ones think that I'll pray when I'm older. When you're older, you're going to struggle to make ruku. You're going to struggle to make sujood. You're going to struggle to walk to the masjid. If you're not doing it now, how are you going to do it then? This is the time. اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Many people think, you know what, I'm too young to go for hajj. You know, it's not easy. It's a struggle. The cost aside, but actually you're young. This is the time you should be doing this. And if you start doing it now, and in your old age you're not able to do it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah will reward you because you were doing in your young age. So number one, shababaka qabla haramik. Value your youth before old age comes. Make the most of it. Then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shababaka qabla haramik. وَصِحَّتُكَ قَبْلَ سَقْمِكَ. Value your health before sickness overtakes you. There is no guarantee of health. There is absolutely no guarantee. At the moment, Allah has given us good health. Make the most of it. Do as much as we can. This is why we shouldn't procrastinate. Because you don't know.
When you say, I'll do it tomorrow, how do you know that tomorrow you'll be feeling well? Tomorrow you'll be in a state of afiyah. May Allah always keep us with afiyah. But there is no guarantee. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches you and me a prophetic sense of urgency when it comes to doing good deeds. There's a prophetic sense of like, do it now. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Not next year. Not when I'm older. Do it now. Even if it's little, get it done. Once it's done, it's done. But if you put it off till tomorrow, what's going to happen? Tomorrow you'll have tomorrow's work to do and yesterday's work to do. If you can't do one day's work in one day, how are you going to do 2 days' work in one day? But at that moment, Shaitan doesn't tell you that part. He just tells you everything else. Oh, you'll be able to do it better tomorrow. You'll be able to focus a bit more. You'll have more ikhlas as well. Today it's a little bit dodgy. You committed a sin this morning. This is Shaitan. This is why we need to learn about the tricks of Shaitan. Sulfur, procrastination, is a satanic act. He wants you to delay, to postpone as much as possible. So this was two things. Number three, فَرَاغَكَ قَبْلَ شُغْلِكَ. Value your free time before you get busy. Who's busy? Put your hand up if you're a busy person. Everyone's busy. Every single person is busy. Everyone claims to be busy. And you think, do you know what? When I get less busy, then I'll do it. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. If you're single at the moment, right? As soon as you get married, you're going to get double trouble. You're going to be extremely busy. And if you're married and you don't have kids, when you've got 3 kids running around, you're going to get more busy. Today is the freest you will ever be. You'll be more busy tomorrow. And the day after, you'll be get busier. And as you get older, you get busier and busier. You'll have more responsibilities and more things attached to you. So today's the moment. Whatever free time you have, and I guarantee we all have free time. We all have it. Don't tell me I don't have any time. We like to say that. Just go on this, and you can actually monitor your screen time, and it'll tell you how much time you have. Every app will tell you now, and you'll get alerts on your phone. This week, you use your phone 1.5 hours more than last week. It'll tell you. You go onto the apps, it'll tell you exactly how many hours you've been on there. And that's where we learn how much time we actually have. Because a lot of our time on there is useless. And there's your answer. We do have time. And this is the prophetic sense of urgency. When Shaitan tells you, oh, you don't have time, we do have time. So, فَرَاغَكَ قَبْلَ شُغْلِكَ فَقْرُكَ قَبْرَ غِنَاؤُكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ. Value your prosperity. Allah's blessed you with wealth before poverty comes. You don't know what's going to come tomorrow. We've seen the recession, right? We've seen COVID. We've seen the energy prices. And everyone's situation is different. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Whatever situation we're in right now, make the most of it. Allah's given you, you've got an opportunity. You just heard the appeal earlier. Most of us can, alhamdulillah, most of us can give £100. Some of us might be thinking, do you know what? When I'm minted, when I'm loaded, that's when I'm going to donate. No, but what about today? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know in next year, 2 years' time, 3 years' time. What have you got now? The call is today, not tomorrow. How do you know you're going to be around tomorrow? How do you know your situation tomorrow? There's a prophetic sense of urgency to do it now. Do it now. Don't wait till tomorrow. And Shaitan tells you, do it later. Do it later. Allah is telling you, do it now. Right now in the moment. Be in the moment. That snatch the barakah of the moment. So this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number five, he says, hayatuka qabla mawtik. Value your life before your life is no more. Value your life before your life is no more. What guarantee is there that you and I will be here tomorrow? Is there any guarantee? So how can we say, I'll do it tomorrow? Can you see? This is so powerful. If we were to apply, this hadith is one we've heard since we were children. And we've listened, and we've listened, and we've listened. But today I want this hadith for you and I to be paradigm shifting, life changing. Because if we apply this, we understand a prophetic sense of urgency, how we can overcome the procrastination that we are going through. Now, each day has its own right. Today has its own right. Tomorrow has its own right. The day after will have its own right. If we're going to push today's work to tomorrow, how are we going to complete 2 days' work in one day? And let me explain to you. The trick of Shaitan is, what he wants is that you push it till later. When you push it till later, then what happens is it piles up and it mounts up. And it comes to such a stage, then what happens? What happens? It piles up so much. What do you say then? It's too much. Get stressed out. Okay? Start taking antidepressants. Antidepressants. For shaitan. Really. And when you're going to go there, you just feel a form in. Literally, you go in, you can actually go to your GP 10 minutes and they're going to give you antidepressants. And that's killing you. How many people are taking antidepressants just because they've fallen into something so simple what everybody goes through, something as simple as procrastination. Oh, I'm not getting anything done. You go to the doctor and it's so simple. They just write. For them, it's good because the pharmaceutical companies, they're making billions and trillions out of this, these drugs. How can you do that? How can you do that to people? How harmful are these drugs? Have you ever read and understood the harms of this? Why would a normal, sane person need to take this? This is for extreme, extreme, extreme cases. And even in those cases should be avoided. Unless it's absolutely necessary. And we've got, what's the percentage of people taking antidepressants today? Why? Just because they're not gonna tell you these things. Because this is all based on Western secular psychology, which is based on kufr and shirk. They don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in the Quran. They don't believe in the Sunnah. They're not going to tell you this from shaitan because they don't believe in the shaitan. They're going to take you one direction. The Quran is filled with guidance. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving you the guidance. Understand there's a prophetic sense of urgency when it comes to deeds, when it comes to good things, to get things done. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he shared with us another narration to help us see this. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he helped us to overcome procrastination by telling us in one hadith, man khafa adlaja. Man khafa adlaja. Wa man adlaja balagha al-manzil. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in the olden days, people, if they wanted to travel and reach a destination, they would set off early in the morning. You set off early in the morning, you'll make sure by evening time you'll reach your destination. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes a step further and he says, if you want to reach your destination, you want to get your tasks done, you don't want to be overwhelmed, you don't want to be stressed out. These are the common things that people complain about. You don't want to be stressed, you don't want to be overwhelmed, you don't want to just get all worked up and flustered. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a very simple prescription. He said, man khafa adlaja. If you are worried, if you have FOMO, if you have fear of missing out, getting to your destination, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, adlaja. You don't leave in the morning then. Leave the night before. Simple. He said, you don't leave in the morning time then. Leave a night before. Leave in the evening. Because if you leave early, you're guaranteed to reach your destination. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, don't leave things till later on. Don't just keep postponing them. Do them earlier. LN66FFD. LN66FFD. It's blocking. If you can please kindly remove it immediately. Jazakumullahu khairan. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man khafa adlaja, wa man adlaja balagha al-manzil. Whoever is worried that you won't reach your destination, you won't get your task completed, what do? You carry on postponing it? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, instead of leaving in the morning, adlaja, you leave in the night time, the night before. وَمَنْ أَدْلَجَ بَلَغَ الْمَنْزِلِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever leaves early, they'll reach their destination. أَلَا سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةَ أَلَا سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ. So this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving us the correct attitude. Now, we're going to understand the trick of shaitan. What's the trick of shaitan in all of this and how does he work? So you and I can become cognizant and aware, and the next time we are faced with this scenario, and we have many scenarios like this, don't we, on a daily basis. This is why we've called the series Spiritual Warfare, The Daily Battle with Shaitan. This series concerns every single one of you. There is no one in this room or out of this room who doesn't need this series. Every single one of us need this. Because these are scenarios you and I are faced with every single day. This is my need. I need to sit here thinking, this is my need. This is your need. And without this, we're not going to know. And we're losing in this battle with shaitan on a daily basis. May Allah protect us. So here we are trying to equip ourselves with the right armor, with the right weapons, and with the right tools to be able to fight this battle. Now, the approach of shaitan is different when you're about to carry out a good deed, and the approach of shaitan is different when you're about to carry out a sin, when it comes to tasweef. He has a different approach when it comes to good deeds. He has a different approach when it comes to sins. So, when it comes to, let's talk about sins first. When it comes to sins, shaitan tells you, now you, a moment ago we were saying that shaitan tells you what? Do it later, do it later. But when it comes to sins, what does he say? Do it now, do it now, do it now. This is the moment. He says, do it now. He tells you, do it right now. Don't even wait for tomorrow. Don't even wait for the next hour. Do it right now. Why? Because you might never get this chance ever again. This is shaitan. Have we heard this whisper before? We have. We hear it regularly. He says, do it right now because you might not get this chance ever again. YOLO. You only live once. Just do it. Get it over and done with. That's it. It's done. Once it's out of your system, shaitan tells you, once it's out of your system and you've enjoyed it, you enjoy the pleasure of the sin one time, you're never going to do it again. This is the whisper of shaitan. He says, just go ahead. Like, why do you want to miss out on this? Everyone's done it before. Why are you missing out? Get it done now. Now, how do we overcome this? How do we overcome this? The way we overcome this, now, you need to have heard this discussion from the beginning till now to understand this. Don't just take this segment and kind of share it because people can misquote here. So if you've understood from the beginning what we've been discussing, how do we overcome this? How do we overcome this? The way we overcome this is we're not going to say to the shaitan, I'm not going to do it. Because that's not going to work. He's going to overpower you. You don't say, I'm not going to do it. What do we do? What do you say? Do it later. You use his trick on him. You use tasweef on him. He uses tasweef on you. You use tasweef on him. Just like he uses it on you when it comes to good deeds, he says, do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. So when he tells you and whispers to you in regards to the committing of a sin, you say to him, you don't think I'm not going to do it, because he'll come up with another excuse and tell you why you should do it. And the wasawis just won't end. So just say to him, I'm going to do it later. And you know what happens when we say, I told you the study earlier. What was the study? When they studied the brain waves, after doing the neurological scans, what did they find? When you say, I'll do it later, right? You imagine a different version of yourself. And you don't end up doing those things that you say, I'm going to do it later. Most of the time, you don't end up doing the things that you say, I'm going to do it later. So this actually works. This actually works. So when shaitan tells you, do it now, you go to him, I'm going to do it later. I'm going to do it. And this is a very good place to actually use this. Now, shaitan won't stop there. Shaitan has another trick. Another trick of shaitan is shaitan comes to you and he tells you, look, do it now, because it'll be easier for you to stop this sin later on. Do it now. Later on, you can do tawbah. Haven't we heard this one as well? Right? We're accustomed to this one. Just do tawbah. Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Laylatul Qadr. You got 29th as well. Right? Eid day, Allah forgives. You shed a tear, Allah's going to forgive you. Allah's merciful, Allah's kind, Allah's loving. He's going to forgive you. So just get it done and over with. And then just go to Allah. And of course he's going to forgive you. So shaitan comes to you and he says that it's going to be easier to stop the sin later on. Just do it now. Because you might be thinking to yourself, hang on, if I get into this now, how will I get out of it? Shaitan is telling you, don't worry, it's going to be easy to stop this later on. Remember what we said about the neurological scans? Right? Who do we think about later on? We're thinking of a different person. So at that time, if I buy into this, I'm going to think, yeah, I can. You know yourself. I know myself. I know I'm extremely weak. I know I'm weak. You guys know about yourselves. I'm not going to comment on you guys. You guys know yourselves. But I know I'm a weak person. I struggle with this. So in the moment, I know that if I get into this, I know I'm not going to be able to get out of it. It's going to be extremely hard. Shaitan tells you, to not think about now. He tells you, you know, later on, you'll be able to just quit easily. Remember, you're not thinking about you now. You're thinking about another version of you that doesn't even exist. And that's easier for you to, oh, yeah, I'm going to quit. How often do we do this? Yeah, I'll be able to do it. And this is probably why people take credit card upon credit card and loan upon loan, thinking, yeah, I'm going to be able to pay it off. You know yourself. Who are you fooling? But this is what Shaitan does. So he says that you'll be able to do it. Now, what we need to address the Shaitan is, if you can't stop now, how are you going to stop a week later? If I'm falling into the sin now, how am I going to stop the sin later on? It's going to be even harder. Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah actually gave an example of this. Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he said the example of a procrastinator is like, and his reaction to sin, the example, this is the statement of Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah. Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he says, the example of a person that procrastinates and his reaction to a sin is like a person who's got a tree in their backyard. The tree has started to grow. So you go out and you think, let me go and chop the tree down. You go to chop the tree down, you see the tree and you think, do you know what? I'll do it later. You come back in the house. A couple of hours later, you go back and the tree has grown double in size. This is Imam Ghazali. Because the tree has grown double in size. What's going to happen now? Are you going to chop it down? It doesn't work. That just doesn't work. It just doesn't happen. So this is Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah. Yeah, we finished, today we had Khatmul Quran. And after that we had a very long dua. And after that we had witr. And then we had a lot of people to evacuate from the masjid. And then there's snacks and everything. So we'll be doing Qiyamul Layl about 12:45 inshallah today. We announced it earlier. So I'm announcing it now for anybody who's coming afterwards. We started late, so inshallah. It's the 27th. You're getting rewarded for it, inshallah. Or as soon as we finish, inshallah, if we finish before that. So this is the trick of shaitan. Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he's saying that if you didn't cut the tree down, later on the tree has grown. And it's much more difficult to cut the tree down. So, when is the time to make tawbah? If somebody asks, when is the best time to make tawbah? When we go to Mecca? When you go to Medina? When somebody passes away in your family? 27th night? 15 Shaban, when is the best time to make tawbah? When? I can't hear you guys. Now. There is no better moment than now. The barakah of the moment. This is the prophetic urgency that we are taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, the moment is now. So, subhanallah. Jazakallahu khair. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us this urgency. Now, shaitan comes again. When it comes to tawbah, the best time to make tawbah is now. Shaitan comes to you now. This, again, I think we've all had visits, multiple visits from shaitan and iblis and all of them in between in regards to this. When it's time to make tawbah, especially on nights like this, this is something we all want to do, right? Yes or no? One of the greatest features of Laylatul Qadr is forgiveness. And we repent. And Imam An-Nawawi has taught us how to repent. There are three conditions of tawbah. If you want your tawbah to be accepted, what is tawbah? Tawbah is turning back to Allah. It's saying sorry to Allah, apologizing to Him. Number one, the condition. You have to meet these three conditions for your tawbah to be accepted. Condition number one, al-iqla' anil ma'siyah. You stop doing the sin. Number two, you feel regret and you feel bad. You feel horrible about what you've done. And number three, you make a resolution that I will never do it ever again. When you do one, two, three, your tawbah is accepted. Allah forgives all your sins. And are we all going to do this? I know we've raised hands in dua with the imam, but we need to do it individually as well. Because the sins you've committed, they're not the imam's sins. You committed your own sins. So you need to ask Allah for your own sins. The imam asks for him. You ask for your own sins and for your own needs as well. So individually, whenever you get a chance, whether it's in the masjid or you go back home today, spare at least 2 or 3 minutes for this. At least a few minutes in which we cry to Allah and we make a sincere tawbah. There is nothing more important than making a tawbah in this night of Ramadan. So what do we have to do? Three conditions. Number one, stop committing the sin. Stay, like, you stop doing it. Number two, feel horrible and bad and regret. Regret is the word, remorse. Feel remorse, should feel bad about what we've done. And number three, make a promise to Allah, oh Allah, I will never do it ever again. If we do one, two, and three, no matter what sin you've committed, Allah will forgive your sins. At-ta'ibu min adh-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lah. A person that makes tawbah from their sins, it's as if they have never sinned ever before. So now, shaitan will come to you on this as well. Shaitan comes to you and he says, you're going to do it again anyway. What if tomorrow you commit the sin? Have you had that before? You're making tawbah and shaitan tells you, well, what if I do it again tomorrow? What if I do it again next week? What if I do it again a month later? Well, the thing is, we tell shaitan that, look, my job is to make tawbah. Just like your job is to make me sin, my job is to make tawbah. I'm doing what I'm doing. Today, it's my time to make tawbah. Well, say shaitan will tell you, what if you sin again tomorrow? Well, if I do sin again tomorrow, I'm intending not to. But if I do sin again tomorrow, I'm going to make tawbah again. But what if you sin again? I'll make tawbah again. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can commit the same sin 70 times and make tawbah 70 times and Allah will forgive you 70 times, not 70 times. Allah will forgive you thousands of times because Allah is tawwab. Allah is ghafoor. This is the role of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to forgive. It's about me and you turning. Don't let shaitan fool you. Shaitan fools you. He wants you not to make tawbah at all. Make the tawbah. And if he comes to you and tells you, we're talking about today. You can tell him, come to me tomorrow, about tomorrow. Why are you asking about tomorrow? It's today. I'm making the tawbah today. If I commit a sin tomorrow, well, I'll do tawbah tomorrow. What about next week? Well, I'll do tawbah again. What about next year if it happens again? Like this, we need to know how to fight the shaitan and how to engage in the battle with him. Now, coming on to good deeds, we spoke about sins and how shaitan approaches you and tries to trick you in regards to sins and vice. What about when it comes to good deeds? How does he turn you away from carrying out good deeds? Ramadan is a month of good deeds. It's about to come to an end. We've got a handful of days remaining. And what we want is, ideally what we want is, after the month of Ramadan, we continue our good deeds. May Allah grant us steadfastness and allow us to continue some of the good practices that we've started doing in the month of Ramadan. So what does he do in regards to good deeds? You want to carry out a good deed. Shaitan comes to you and he tells you, not now, later. Don't do it now, do it later. Shaitan tells you, you've got time. You've got time. You're still young. You've got so many hours left. You don't have to do it right now. Do it tomorrow. Do it in the evening. Do it next week. Do it next time. So the answer we give to shaitan is, I don't know if I have tomorrow. I don't know. Can you see the prophetic sense of urgency just crushes this trick of shaitan immediately? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? Value your life before your death comes to you. Are we guaranteed tomorrow? This is an automatic way of putting an end to this whisper of shaitan. I don't know if I've got tomorrow. So I don't know if I've got time, and I don't know if I will have the opportunity tomorrow. I might have time, I might have life, I might have health. What if I don't have the opportunity? The opportunity is now. Are we following with this? There is a barakah in the moment. Once you lose that barakah, you've lost the opportunity. This is why in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, and this is so profound. When you hear it for the first time, if you hadn't heard the context behind it, maybe we would have understood it in a different way. You may have heard this hadith before, but today after hearing what you've heard, you're going to understand it and it's going to make a lot of sense to you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I'mal li dunyak, i'mal li dunyak ka'annaka ta'ishu abada. I'mal li dunyak ka'annaka ta'ishu abada wa i'mal li akhiratik ka'annaka tamutu ghadan." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, work for your dunya, for your world, as if you're going to live forever. You work for this dunya as if you're going to live forever. So when it comes to a worldly affair, a lot of us, we go to work and you've done all your tasks for the day. And as you're leaving your workplace, Samantha or Jessica or Kelly or whatever her name is, she comes and puts a whole pile of wad of papers on your desk. But you walk out of the office, it's 5 o'clock, what do you say to yourself? I'll deal with it tomorrow. And that's fine.
That's dunya. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when it comes to dunya and worldly affairs, you act as if you're going to live forever. Meaning, I can put worldly things off till tomorrow. Because the worldly things, they're not as important. But when he said, وَاِعْمَلْ لِآخِرَتِكَ كَأَنَّكَ تَمُوتُ غَدًا. But when it comes to matters of the akhirah, act as if you're going to die tomorrow. When it comes to your salah, don't say I'll pray later. You don't know if you've got tomorrow. When it comes to your fast, when it comes to your tilawat of the Quran, when it comes to obedience to Allah, when it comes to abstaining from a sin, act as if tomorrow is your death. Today is your final day. This is the only opportunity that you have. اِعْمَلْ لِدُنْيَاكَ كَأَنَّكَ تَعِيشُ أَبَدًا وَاِعْمَلْ لِآخِرَتِكَ كَأَنَّكَ تَمُوتُ غَدًا. This is a beautiful prescription from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it comes to dunya, okay, I've got another day. I've got time. I can do it tomorrow. We twist it the other way around. When it comes to worldly affairs, we want to make sure we're on top of it. We want to get everything done. And when it comes to our spiritual affairs, our a'mal, when it comes to the issues and the actions of the akhirah and the hereafter, there we are behind. We are postponing things. We are procrastinating. What did we say? Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, Taswif jundun min junudi iblis. Procrastination, this is an army from the armies of Iblis. This is what he wants. He wants you to keep pushing off good deeds, good things till tomorrow, so that it piles up so much so you become overwhelmed and then you just give up. He just give up. I can't do it. It's too much for me. And then you just put your hands up. May Allah protect us. May Allah give us the understanding. So time is short. Prophetic urgency. Time is short. How to overcome procrastination? We're going to conclude with this. How do we overcome procrastination? Do you know sometimes it happens in life where we lose all kind of motivation, isn't it? There's times when we just don't have the drive. We just don't feel like doing anything. You've lost all motivation. You've lost the drive. You just don't feel like doing anything whatsoever. Now, there's two things. One is extrinsic motivation, where somebody else is motivating you. Somebody else is always on your back, on your case. Do this, don't do this. Make sure you get this done. This is extrinsic motivation. They say extrinsic motivation coupled with a difficult task is like hitting a dead end. If the task is difficult and you always need somebody else to motivate you, you're not going to get very far in life. So we have to change the tactic. We cannot rely, some of us are always relying on somebody else pushing us along, somebody else telling us to do things. And if the task at hand is difficult, you're a person that generally struggles with tasks anyway. You're hitting a dead wall here. So this is why what we need, when it comes to religious affairs especially, when it comes to the deen and religious affairs and good things, what we need to realize is I need Allah. I need the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I need the Quran. I need the salah. You have to make it a sense of urgency. I need this. At the moment, if you're praying just because someone's telling you to pray, if you're doing these things because someone, you don't feel an urgency. There's no urgency there. I don't feel I need it. So this is where we need to work. This is the area that we need. Motivation needs to come from within. We can't always rely, and we're not always going to be motivated. This is one thing that in today's world we're seeing, people say, I don't feel like it. You don't have to always feel like it. Got a couple married, I'm not feeling it anymore. Not always going to feel it. That's not how it works. Ask your mom and dad, ask your grandparents. Do they always feel lovey-dovey all the time? How did they stick out 50, 60, 70 years? Nowadays, it's been too... Oh, I'm not feeling it, you know. I'm not feeling it. The chemistry is not there. You have to work on it. You carry on. You keep grinding. You keep going. You're not always going to feel it. We're living in a time of emotivism. It's all about how I feel. Brother, you're not the standard. Your feelings are not the standard. The standard is the Quran. The standard is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not all about you. It's about Allah. We are Muslims. We're not following a secular paradigm. Our perspective is different altogether. Stop looking with the lens of the Western secular world. Don't look at what they're telling you. We are Muslims. Our paradigm is different. It's all about what does Allah say?
What does the Rasul of Allah say? What does the Quran say? What does the Sunnah say? What did the Sahaba do? What do the friends of Allah say? Not about how you feel. Oh, I'm not feeling this. People feel like all sorts of things. I can say today I'm feeling like a carrot. Does that make me one? And that's what's happening. And sadly, as Muslims, we're going with the wave as well. We're going with the wave as well. So let's understand. We're not always going to feel motivated. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. So how does it work then? We need to create a sense of urgency within us, especially in matters of religion, in matters that matter, serious religious affairs, spiritual issues. We need to create within us, like, I need the salah. The salah doesn't need me. So, Isha salah is going to happen whether I pray or not. The masjid doesn't need me. The Kaaba doesn't need me. Allah doesn't need me. Islam doesn't need me. It doesn't. If I believe or I don't believe, it's not going to make any difference to Islam. I need salah. If the salah time passes and I don't pray, I need to have FOMO in regards to that. I need to develop. Islam teaches. This is an Islamic thing. Having FOMO, I'm going to miss out. Do we feel like this in regards to our religious affairs? And if we don't, then this is what you need. This is a prescription given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You need to create a sense of urgency within you. That if I don't give my zakat, I'm going to lose out. If I don't do my hajj, I'm going to lose out. If I don't lower my gaze and protect my sight and keep looking at haram, even in Ramadan and after Ramadan, I'm going to lose out big time. I need to preserve my eyesight. I need to stop listening to music. I need to stop consuming haram. I need to stop drinking alcohol. It's my need. It's not somebody else's. If it's our mom or our dad or uncle or the imams always saying, don't do this, don't do this, you need to come. That's not going to take us far. Yes, it's a bit of encouragement, but the motivation needs to come from within. A sense of urgency. I need to feel the urgency from within me. And I need to feel that, you know what? I'm missing out. This is what will happen. A weak motivator will cause procrastination. And if we don't have that sense of urgency, we're just going to procrastinate. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll make Tawbah tomorrow. Next time. I'll give up later. So this is why you need to take ownership of your spiritual relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and create the sense of urgency and need. I end by mentioning, and I've been mentioning this in almost all of the sessions, the best thing to help you in these matters is having a good friend, a pious, religious, righteous, upright friend. Because when these thoughts come to you, you can articulate them, you can mention them. And if you're going here or there, going wrong, they can tell you where you're going wrong. They can tell you. And if you've done this before, you know how beneficial this is. And the imams have said, if you don't have a friend, we're not all lucky to have someone with us, around us, within our circle, who can guide us in good matters of faith. He says that if you don't have a good friend, a mu'een, a guide, who was going to help you. And today we're living in a Western society of individualism, right? We want to do our own thing. We don't want to be part of a community. We don't want to have good friends and associate with the people of the masjid or the people who are doing good or trying to build that strong Muslim ummah. So we need to build it. Now, what do we do in the meantime? It's not there. We can't keep on harping on about it. We need this, we need this, we need this, we need this. What do we do right now when we don't have it? So the imams are advising, there are three things the pious of the past would advise, that in the case of the absence of a good, righteous friend, there are three things you can do. Number one, this is acute medicine. Number one, remind yourself. Keep reminding yourself. You know, we talk to ourselves, like right now you're talking to yourself. 24/7 you're talking to yourself. Like right now, although I'm the one speaking, but you're talking as well. Inside you've got the internal dialogue. And it's continuously going. And now you're actually noticing it as well. And now you're feeling silly that you're thinking about things and you're saying things to yourself. Right? That's constantly happening. So you need to remind yourself. If it's regarding salah, if it's regarding zakat, if it's regarding fulfilling the obligations towards your neighbors or your parents, or if it's regarding, you know, abandoning certain sins, we need to remind ourselves of the virtues, of the vices. So number one, remind yourself. Like somebody else would remind you, I need to remind myself. You are your best reminder. Sometimes you are your best motivator.
So remind yourself why I should be doing this, why I shouldn't be doing this. So number one, remind yourself. Number two, admonish yourself. This is actually a whole genre. In the pious predecessors, they would have something called tawbikhun nafs. Sometimes they would actually write poems to their own nafs. You lazy nafs. How long are you going to sleep? How much are you going to eat? How much time are you wasting in this world? Are you going to while away your days and your nights? How many more sins are you going to commit? They would write to themselves. This is a whole genre amongst the mashayikh of the past. It's called tawbikhun nafs. When you have a go at yourself, you shake yourself up, you speak to yourself, you tell yourself, sort yourself out. How long are you going to carry on disobeying Allah? أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hasn't the time come when the believers, their hearts tremble with the fear of Allah and they made tawbah? Tell yourself, sit yourself in a corner. One of our teachers used to tell us, now and again you should sit yourself in a corner and speak to yourself and tell yourself, how long are you going to disobey Allah? It's been years and years and years. You carried out the same sin again and again and again. When will you have shame from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Speak to yourself. This is called tawbikhun nafs. It's very beneficial. Very beneficial. They would write to themselves. They would address themselves. They would speak to themselves in the mirror. Because you know yourself better than anybody else. And I guarantee right now, you yourself know the number one advice that you need to hear. You don't need any lecturer. You don't need a khatib. You don't need an influencer. You don't need a motivational speaker to tell you what you should be doing right now. You yourself know the number one advice that you need to hear. Just tell yourself that advice. You know exactly where you're going wrong. Just tell yourself that advice. This is tawbikhun nafs. And finally, the imams would say, after you've done step one and step two, now stand up like an angry person. I'm not going to act it out. Stand up like an angry person and go and carry out the deed that you need to. Why? Because psychology and physiology are connected. Do you know when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you're feeling angry, if you're standing up, what should you do? Sit down. And if you're feeling angry and you're sitting down, what should you do? Lie down. In the same way, in this moment, you're procrastinating. You're being lazy. You're putting things off. Right? So he's saying, if you're sitting down, you're lying down, get up now and carry out the action. The ulama say, if you do these three things, you will find a burst of energy. Your iman will increase and you will run towards the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And shaitan will run from you. Did you know that Umar radiallahu anhu, when he would walk down the path, shaitan would change the path? Why? Because he was cognizant to shaitan and his tricks. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make us amongst those who are cognizant and aware of the tricks of shaitan, so that after Ramadan, we can also protect ourselves as well. Don't use these things just to become better in the world. A lot of us, we go to this self-help industry just to get better in our dunya, to become better people in the dunya. But that's what they're teaching because they don't see beyond that. That's it. That's the highest level for them is self-actualization. I become something, me. In Islam, you annihilate yourself. Islam starts with La ilaha illallah. You wipe yourself. It's not me. Who is it? Illallah, Allah. It's all about reaching Allah subhanahu. Can you see how wrong this is? Right? Don't just use this for your dunya. Yes, excel in the dunya. And excel in the akhirah as well. This is why beautifully our deen is so complete, so comprehensive, so beautiful. The Quran teaches us, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ